Good morning. It's good to be here this morning with you all. This morning I have just a quick devotional, and the title that I gave it is Loving Others and Having a Servant Attitude as a True Christian, like Christ did for us here on earth. And I was inspired partly to talk about this because of what Owen read a few Sundays back in Philippians 2 about every man looking not on his own things but onto the things of others, or caring for other people and not just living a self-centered life. And also I had to think, in my life, I've had men come up to me who didn't have to take interest in my life, but they did. They weren't required to, but they chose to show interest and encourage me to keep on doing the right thing. And that meant a lot to me, and I hope that this can be an encouragement to all of you. To start out, I'm going to read Matthew 22, 27 through 40. You don't have to follow along, but I'm going to read it. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Next, I'm going to read Romans 13, 8 through 10. I'm going to read several passages that just say we should love our neighbor as ourselves. We should care about others and not just ourselves. It says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, ye shall not commit adultery, ye shall not murder, ye shall not steal, ye shall not bear false witness, ye shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, ye shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." And then next in Galatians 5:14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, ye shall love your neighbor as yourself." So we see that the Bible emphasizes that we need to love our neighbors very strongly. And our neighbors being our brothers in the church, everyone that we meet during the day as we go about our lives, basically everyone that we come in contact with, I would say are our neighbors. And then to love our neighbors, we can all interpret love differently. I know the world may interpret love as being, it varies from person to person, but some people are natured differently. But if I'm mad at someone, I love them because I didn't punch them in the face. That can be some people's version of love. And another person may choose, just because he's natured differently, to say, "Well, I'm not loving someone unless I'm actually doing something positive for them. I'm encouraging them, or I'm caring for their needs in some way." But again, we're all natured differently. And as Christians, I don't feel we have, by saying I'm loving someone by not hurting them is probably not a Christ-like love. That's, maybe you are helping that person by not punching them in the face, but we all understand that that's probably not exactly what love is. I'm going to continue reading in Matthew 5:38 through 48. It says, "You've heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good." Actually, I'm going to stop right there. So we see that what love is, it's not just not hurting people. He even goes so far as to say, love your enemies. Love the people who do hurt you. He says, pray for them who spitefully use you and persecute you. So if we think about the people who spitefully use us, you know, I actually, in my life, I can't think of a lot of people who have spitefully used me. In America, or in our community here, it's sometimes it's hard to find those people who are that much against you. But, you know, there are cases that people, that happens to us. And someone may even have someone who's threatened to kill them. I don't know. But we're most likely going to be challenged with smaller things, like a character trait that just bothers us about someone else. We have a hard time loving that person. Practically, in our lives, we're probably going to have to, we're going to struggle with the little things. But those little things are important, I feel, very important, because if we can't learn to love someone, even if they just bother us in little ways, then we're never going to be able to love someone who actually wants to kill us, who is truly our enemy. I had to think of all the people, all through history, we see examples of Christians who truly were, they had to forgive people who did horrible things to them. Corrie ten Boom, Richard Wurmbrand, Dirk Willems, Stephen, the very first martyr, he said, don't lay this sin to their cause, as they were stoning him. And I believe these people weren't just putting on a front by saying, oh, I love you even though you're hurting me. They actually felt that way. They were concerned for these people's souls. They wanted them to find the truth. And Peter traditionally was crucified upside down because he didn't think he was worthy to be crucified in the same way Jesus was. These people counted it joy to suffer for Christ. And what I really wanted to bring out this morning is not that we're going to face the same things that those people did. We're going to face little things. Maybe there's a brother in the church who has an agenda that he really is trying to hammer home, and we just have to learn to love that person anyway. And, you know, I can be that person, and people have loved me through that too. This is a quote from a guy named Bertrand Russell, out of a book that he wrote, and this talks about self-centeredness, about how I think the reason that we choose not to love people is because we're self-centered. We think our lives are more important. Says, quote, the first is, remember that your motives are not always as altruistic as they seem to yourself, or they're not always as good to other people as they seem to yourself. The second is, don't overestimate your own merits. The third is, don't expect others to take as much interest in you as you do in yourself. And the fourth is, don't imagine that most people give enough thought to you to have any special desire to persecute you. And, you know, as I live my life, I think, oh, I'm so busy. I have work. I have all this stuff going. I don't have time to go and encourage another brother. I don't have time to go spend helping the church do whatever the church is doing at any particular night of the week sometimes. But as Christians, we're not supposed to be self-centered. And it's so easy for us to think, well, my life is more important than anyone else's. And lastly, I'm going to read Philippians 2, 1 through 4, what Owen had read a few Sundays ago. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So that's what I had for devotions this morning, and why don't we pray?